expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Generation to generation, it gets better.
Good morning and welcome to Generations Talk Radio. I am your host, Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. We are here every Wednesday live, embracing aging, right here on KCNR 1460. If you want to comment on one of our discussions today, feel free to give us a call at 605-4567 or join us in the chat room at KCNR1460.com. Bob's monitoring that for us, and he'll let us know what your thoughts are. You can also follow us on Facebook at Generations Talk Radio. And, wow, what a crazy few weeks it's been. My guest this morning is a good friend, entrepreneur, business owner, author, woman of so many things, Alexis Asby. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, one of the reasons I invited you on today, because we're friends off the air, of course, is the climate, I think, the change of Redding, Shasta County wrapping its head around our new normal, so to speak, how that's impacting us as women, our families, our businesses, the women we employ in our businesses. It's a pretty far-reaching recovery effort, I think, more than just rebuilding the homes.
Yeah, I think that the fallout of course, this natural disaster has been devastating for everybody, and I think that the layers go much further. Losing people's homes and just the trauma and the change of landscape and what we've all experienced has been just seems to ripple on. Mm-hmm. And in our business, the disaster and restoration business, and the business of being a woman for me, has been, it's not ending. And so as I'm trying to recover and figure out what my new normal looks like, I'm really noticing the impact and the trauma that people are experiencing. And just being in the smoke has been toxic for people.
Oh, for sure. So I know when people are calling Aztec, you're hearing, so then, like a lot of times in my world, the emotional turmoil they're under, and connecting to that, which is another resource that you're giving away to support these families that are calling, whether it's, you know, smoke damage or partial construction that has to happen. I mean, so your office staff is, you know, feeding these folks and trying to support them with this loss too, which is probably, I know you're dealing with fire stuff a lot, but this is probably more than they're used to hearing these stories.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. This community hasn't actually had a catastrophic loss of this magnitude. And frankly, we have not been through a catastrophic loss as a company. And just to go back, Aztec Construction and Restoration, what we do is we do and service people who are experiencing a trauma or a disaster all the time. But at this size, it's been
a game changer, really.
It's a game changer. As a businesswoman, I'm trying to think, like, how do we scale this? How do we serve as many people as possible? How do we continue to provide quality service? How do I, you know, keep my employees safe? How do I keep my staff, you know, from burnout? And, you know, holding space when the phone rings. And every time the phone rings, there's another tragic story.
Mm-hmm.
And people are frustrated and, you know, the people who are answering the phones and who are taking the information, who are going out and doing the work, are in it 24 hours a day. Like, there's not an end to what to holding space for people mm-hmm. who have been through so much.
Yeah, and I think that when we first, well, of course, we were talking all the way through this, the car fire and everything and my evacuation, and but I think there's ramifications that as a community, oftentimes we don't see. There's the natural, of course, we're going to see, you know, people needing to get plans put through quickly to get rebuilt, and insurance companies were here setting up their tents and all of these things. But on your end, like, until you said to me, Sharon, this, you know, the business that we're going to have, the need that's going to be there, we've got to be sure we can take it on as a company with our expenditures, with hiring people. And it's like this whole other, while some people think, oh, my gosh, that must be amazing. That's going to be really good for them. Businesses can go under for overcommitting to things. And, and I know in my first, 5 years in business, there was a few really crazy months when my business grew, my payroll grew, and my cash flow suffered because my receivables were not coming in time for my payroll. And if you get out of whack with that, especially at the magnitude of the business that your guys are doing, it can be a deal breaker. And so I think you're in the middle of like wanting to help all these people and hearing all their stories. Then at the same time, you may need to hire new people and you're trying to get them trained and offer a good service. And there's a lot of moving pieces to that.
Yeah, I think it was really telling for me as I was sitting in front of my bankers the week after, and I think the fire was only contained at less than half, and I noticed that my bankers were starting to realize the impact not only on all businesses, our community, but the trickle-down effect, the suppliers who supply materials, the resources that we have to pull from, and how everyone is affected in some way. Many people have family members have lost homes or have had damage or are displaced. The lack of resources as far as additional housing. I was actually down in Sonoma this last week, and they've just recently experienced this as of October. And 9 months later, they're not building yet.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even have foundations poured. That no one's put up one piece of, framing to actually start reconstruction. And so I'm hopeful that our community is putting pieces in place, like a director of disaster relief or redevelopment. I believe that those things are going to really be helpful. And then also shoring up our city services to expedite plans, because it was already really busy. And now it's exponentially even more busy.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and I heard that on the rebuilding, if the footprint is absolutely the same, they want to get it through in a week. And if you change anything, it'll be 3 weeks. And I said, and I was joking with Bev Stupak, who was telling me this last night. And I said, well, of course we're all going to want to change something. What woman's house? I mean, I'm not going to make light of it, but if your house goes down, there's always that one room that had, maybe you wanted your laundry room a little bit bigger, or we might as well add that shower and that half bath now.
Right.
And so, to me, why wouldn't you tweak something? If you're rebuilding, most people, unless you built your dream house to begin with, but most people are maybe going to want to tweak a little something.
Yeah. And I think that I just really wanted to, I think that it's really important to acknowledge that we're all human beings, and that when people are calling your office, for example, and they're frustrated or they need help with their family members, or they're frustrated because things aren't moving very quickly, everybody's frustrated. Everybody's doing the very best that they can. And just to try to meet ourselves with some sort of grace and compassion first, and then be able to extend it for others. But I don't think that until we are able to actually address our own grief and pain, can we actually sit or begin to even excavate the trauma that we've been through. And if we don't, I feel like that it will continue to go on and perpetuate.
It just kind of festers.
Mm-hmm.
When I had a social worker on a few weeks ago, we were chatting, and someone in her circle said, I feel like I keep flashing back to the death of my mom. Like, so this triggered her, like this deep, trauma. So it's not like we got in a fender bender and we're fine, and you can just kind of push those emotions down. I think this is something that, like, there's a grief process,
absolutely,
people have to, and for you and I, pretty strong women, my old way of thinking before my mom passed away was, you just shove those feelings down. I always call myself a bootstraps girl, power through.
Yes.
And I had a great physician at the time, and he said, you can get through this in 3 months or 3 years. It's up to you. And it was really good advice, because I just let myself feel all those emotions. When the grief started to come over me, I just sat in it and absorbed it and moved through it. But I think for people that maybe haven't done that, this may be triggering other emotions for them. And you're right. How we all respond to this is going to be different.
Right.
Yeah.
In the midst of a crisis, it's really interesting. If the organism or the organization or the person or the relationship is healthy, then most likely you're going to have tools and a foundation to actually navigate through that crisis. When a crisis happens and there's already a dysfunction or something that needs to be addressed, everything becomes heightened.
Of course. Yeah, it's exacerbated.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick break with Alexis and I and be back with more Generations Talk Radio right after this. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. I thought it would be fun to have you hear from some of our residents what life is like here at River Commons. I asked Jean, Rosalie, Gordon, and Sherry to share their thoughts.
Living here at River Commons is something I never even imagined or dreamed of. It's sort of like being on a vacation where you don't have to worry about doing anything and you have people taking care of you, looking out for you. The food is like being on a cruise ship, as my daughter puts it.
Home. It feels homey to me. Only better. I don't have to cook. I don't have to clean.
Been here 8 years. It's been fantastic. I've enjoyed every minute of it.
This is my home. The parties and the activities are great. I love living here. I wouldn't live anyplace else.
Call today and schedule a tour or luncheon a tour and see for yourself why our residents love living here at River Commons. Call 221-2121 or on the web at river-commons.com.
Hey, you getting hungry?
Yeah, hungry as a bear.
Oh, yes, the eternal question. What's for lunch?
Fast food?
Nah, I want something that didn't come in a bag.
Someplace fancy.
No, I want a place that has a down-home atmosphere, serves good portions, and has consistently good food.
My friend, you just described Black Bear Diner. They started just up the road in Mount Shasta. They have carried that feeling of home-cooked meals at a great price to more than 100 locations.
They're on Hilltop Drive in Redding. What's that?
It's time to feed the inner bear.
Black Bear Diner.
I'm here with Mike of Estate Granite and Things. Hey, Mike, so I got to ask, what's with the and things?
And things is anything that we can make with granite and metal.
So you're saying it's going to last?
It's forever furniture.
Wow, did you come up with that one?
Absolutely. The and things are dining room tables, wine bistros, fire pit patio tables, and our ever-popular granite-lined roasters. Really, anything you can imagine inside or out.
You know, that store-bought stuff has to be replaced every few years. You know, it gets hot up here.
That's why we call it Forever Furniture. You can will it to your children.
Mike, with Estate Granite and Things, our builder of choice, thinking completely out of the box.
The first time I walked into my new kitchen, I was amazed. But after, I started to notice all the little things that make my kitchen unique. From the tile backsplash to the seams in the granite, everything was truly a work of art.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard. Estate Granite and Things, completely out of the box. Or visit us at estategranite.com.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name. Knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
Oh, smooth listening. Thanks, Bob. Well, welcome back to Generations Talk Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. My guest today is a good friend, colleague, business owner, entrepreneur, CFO of Aztec Construction and Restoration, and CEO of the Brave Left Tribe. Is that what you would call yourself? Founder of the Brave Love Tribe?
Yeah.
Yeah, founder. Founder sounds better. The Miss Alexis Asby.
Head Brave Lover.
Yeah, Head Brave Lover. There you go. And for those of you that are listening, we did an event together after the first of the year last year called Brave Women, and it was super successful. We sold out multiple times and enlarged the space over at the Sheraton. So that's something we really want to do again. And
yeah, we got to do that.
Yeah.
We were talking about doing another one in the fall.
Yeah.
Actually, I think what I'm really being led right now is to do some power circles around healing for women.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we actually restore and rise?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that event was super fun. And we had such great feedback from women. And So anyway, one of the things that I wanted to chat about this morning, too, is many of you might have read a story that was in the Record Searchlight last week by Lindsay Schnell, a reporter from USA Today, who actually reached out to me last week. She was here. She's based in Portland and was here, obviously, for the car fire. And she said she was in a group of folks, and they were actually someone who was talking about their autistic son and when they had to be evacuated, how he got out of his routine. And that was an impact that people don't necessarily think about. And she started wondering about seniors and if someone had a memory problem, what would that be like for them? And that's why she called me to see if I had any families that I worked with that were impacted in that way. And actually, I gave her the name of a family, and they were in the article. Bruce Hurst is the son, and his mother's home burned completely to the ground up in Old Shasta. His house on the same piece of property a quarter of a mile away survived, but of course they were all evacuated and were in a hotel room with my caregivers caring for them there, and getting through that whole process. And then now she's in Shasta States with our staff there. And just the process of healing for that family and him, the title of the article was "Son Repeats Agonizing Line to Mom Suffering from Memory Loss, Your House Burned Down." And it was a daily thing. It was a trauma for her. And it's a really, really great article if you want to look it up on Record Searchlight. I believe it published either Thursday or Friday last week. But, you know, it is so far-reaching in business sometimes, the continuing impact of the car fire and of all the fires, really. And I still have a couple clients' families that have evacuated them. And one of the points I made in the article that I think is really important is that your family members need to be able to evacuate independently from any natural disaster. We had a death here in Shasta County. One of the stories was the gentleman had surgery recently and wasn't able to physically evacuate himself. What is, you know, horrible trauma that for that family and his friends. And I think it's a lesson for those families that have a family member either somewhere else, or if your family member's here in Reading, that in a natural disaster, in a fire, in a flood, in a whatever it is, could they get out and independently get out? So it's something to continue thinking about to make sure that there's ramps, that there's safety protocols taken. And, of course, luckily for my client Julie, her son lived right there. And unfortunately, they get evacuated every year, and so he really didn't see that this would actually happen. So, unfortunately, he didn't take a lot of personal items. So, you know, I've learned, and you probably have too, I'm going to have that little go-to box now.
Right.
I mean, especially I'm on the west side. I was running through the house going, oh, grandma's ring is in this drawer. Oh, you know, my mom's, you know, childhood pictures are in this drawer. And then I have grandma's china dish I have in with my dishes. So nothing was like together. And luckily I was ahead of the curve on the evacuation and really saw it coming. But I told my daughter, by the way, she has six keepsakes box in the garage that I was loading in the car. And I'm like, Jessica, you're going to go through these when you come see me next time, because you don't need that Disneyland snow globe. I mean, I will take one box for you if there's an emergency, but she's got like t-shirts she wore to high school homecoming. I'm like, okay, stuff she probably wouldn't even remember was in there. But I think we're all learning. We're all growing. As we've talked about, we're kind of working through some of the grief, but also, you know, preparing ourselves, you know, checking your homeowners and seeing, you know, making sure your policy is in order and that you're not underinsured and, you know, having that strategy and paying attention and, especially if you live on the west side where we have so much fuel coming down.
Right.
And luckily you guys were fairly safe.
We were about a half mile from the evacuation line. We're downtown. So one of the things that I experienced was I was actually driving up into a neighborhood to help someone evacuate and got caught in the gridlock on Thursday night. And I was with my daughter and it was pandemonium. I mean, it was emergency vehicles going every which way. Into the fire, people trying to get out, driving on the sidewalks, animals scattering everywhere, people honking, cars like jackknifed, bumpers flying off. It was wild because the fire moved so quickly that the law enforcement didn't have time to anticipate that they needed to funnel people out of downtown. And the only reason we got out was by weaving through some back roads that I knew, you know, from bike riding that most people aren't familiar with. And, you know, the freeway was empty, but everybody was, like, trapped in the Market Street downtown.
Right, I heard about that.
It was awful and terrifying. And then my husband, who was coming from the other side of town, he had to go all the way up back by Dry Creek and come back down, then got stopped at 44 because they had closed that. It took him 2.5 hours to get, you know, five mm-hmm. miles. And I think just that panic of not being able to get out is also having a route for your family, mm-hmm. having a safe meeting place, I think is really important. And a clear plan of what you're going to do in the event that there is an emergency.
Mm-hmm. And I think as we, as a community, continue to learn about this fire, mm-hmm. That we're going, the community as a whole is going to be putting more things in place because we've never had a situation like this occur. I think our first responders, firefighters, National Guard did an amazing job, amazing, amazing job, especially because this fire behavior was such that they had never seen before. And right. I just felt so bad for these men and women fighting this fire to do every textbook trained thing that they've ever been taught to do. And it's not working.
Yeah, and Mother Nature's funny.
Yes,
she's unpredictable.
Like 4 and 5 days later, they're just, they're your mental state. Mm-hmm. You're sleeping on the ground. You're doing everything you physically and mentally can think of. The higher ups are giving you, you know, fire lines to protect and all of this, and people's houses are still going down, and you're not making any headway. And I just thought of their psyches, you know, and I think again, when this report's done on the car fire and we really learn more about why it escalated the way that it did, which a lot of us think is probably because we haven't managed our forests properly. But continuing to learn what we as a community need to do, because we are in wildfire areas. We are in a risky environment. And I think we've been fortunate as a community to not have it impact us to this point.
Right.
But I do feel like, in reference to your Sonoma discussion, that example saved a lot of lives here because we learned it can go into residential areas and you're not safe. Correct. It will jump a street. It will, you know, getting in a pool isn't going to save you.
Right.
You know, you need to get out of there when they, not only when they tell you to, but before they tell you to.
Right.
And I personally, that was something I thought about a lot on the day I left, because I left before I was told, is because of the gridlock problem. You don't want to get stuck in there. Everyone's leaving at the same time. And I think that horrific situation that they had and loss of life in Sonoma really drove it home to other communities like ours that are so close to all of that fuel.
Right. And, you know, it also with businesses, like it's really caused me to look at all of the liabilities within my organization. My road was closed off. And so we were able to get in and, you know, how do I secure my servers that are located on site? Do I need to have other remote accesses or keep my servers somewhere else? You know, is it important for me to not store all of my vehicles in one location so mm-hmm. that I can be of service? Things that, even for the business, there's critical things that we need to address as far as an emergency evacuation plan or a shutdown or loss of location mm-hmm. for business, mm-hmm. and the same in our families. And then for the teenagers and the kids, they're even feeling it. Like, I've got two teenagers, and, you know, they don't really have an idea about how to express themselves, but they're funneling their displaced anger and trauma also in other directions.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we actually talk to them about what's going on with them and how do we shore them up emotionally to not suppress the feelings that they may have, but to actually address them and sit with them and process so that they can go on and not
yeah,
be haunted.
Agreed. And I actually just had an Uber driver this weekend who hadn't been into my neighborhood to see some of the melted fences and things. And he said he took his two children around so that they could understand it because they were like, you know, 6 and 10 or something. And they had to pack a bag and be ready. He goes, you can imagine you're telling this, you know, young child, get what you want in a bag. We may have to leave our home. That's a lot. I mean, just for me to look around my house and go, what do I want to take? Of course, you want to take everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so he drove them around just to kind of see and process that.
Yeah.
To see like these, everybody lived through this in this area, but look what they lost. And this is what we were facing. And to understand it, they're at Grant School and Grant School's opening late because
right.
of some of
we
these families have
school.
Been, yeah, some of these, you did, yeah, some of these families have been impacted. And for them to have some compassion for these other families, for them to understand it. Cause it is, you don't want your kids watching the news with all of that coverage with all of the crazy shots. That's really scary. It looked like our whole city was going up. So how are they processing, you know?
Right.
So, and I thought that was great. And he took them to like my neighborhood, which has a couple houses, you
right.
know, it's not like a huge, you know, like Lake Redding or Keswick area where it's just the massive, massive, massive destruction would be hard, but just
right.
to see a home gone for them. And when we come back, I actually printed off a couple really good tips in recovering from a natural disaster that we're going to chat about and talk about what we've used, what we think we can use, and maybe you will find some of that helpful too. So stay tuned for more Generations Talk Radio right after this.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Are we enjoying the unity and peace our immoral, godless leaders promised if we would just give up the idea of God? No, we are experiencing violence, hatred, immorality, chaos, and much more, all of which the Bible calls lawlessness. Sadly, those practicing lawlessness are living under a strong delusion of lies as they reject God's truth and have pleasure in unrighteousness. This strong delusion will keep them from knowing the truth that can make them free. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon. And remember, it's worth the ride.
Alan Gordon here with Coachmaster Collision Repair. That's correct. As a new owner of Coachmaster, I'd like to thank Don Steck for his long commitment and dedication to the automotive collision business. For over 50 years, Coachmaster has been offering the highest standard in auto collision repair. If you had a vehicle repaired by Coachmaster in the last 20 years, then we've already met. Coachmaster will continue to offer the same personal service, quality-driven technicians, and pride in every job we do. We'll miss Don as an instructor at Shasta College, his public service, and many entertaining commercials over the years.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. From laser and 3D frame alignment machines and computerized paint matching technology to qualified technicians working on your vehicle. Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road in Reading.
And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that with proper care and just a little discipline should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert. Like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Back to Generations Talk Radio. I am your host, Sharon Clark. We got into a really good discussion off the air. So Bob and I were... Tell about the green sheet thing, Bob.
Right. We talked about this on the main show, but since there were fatalities in this fire, Cal Fire has issued what is called a green sheet, which is a report on the conditions that led to the two fatalities in of the dozer driver and, of course, Jeremy Stokes. And how it all evolved from the weather factors, which we have very unique topography in our area. We're in a big bowl, and the afternoon winds that come down the slopes, and how that combined to create, along with the inversion layer, to create this sudden punching through the layer, and it's like a bathtub swirling round and round. Only in this case, the bathtub was upside down. The vortex was 1,000 feet across.
That's just crazy.
We learned things as a result of this fire that we've never experienced before.
Mm-hmm. As did, I think, a lot of the people working it.
Yeah, but this is a public document. If you type in Cal Fire or Car Fire Green Sheet, it'll come right up.
That's super interesting because I've for one have been, I think understanding this is something that I am processing through. Like I want to know like how did it start? Why did it start? What could we have done? What did we learn? All of these things I think help my, because I'm kind of like a factual mind. Yeah. I like to know that.
Big fires create their own weather. So my wife, of course, is in the industry, and we went from a wind-driven event to a plume-dominated event. In other words, so much air is moving upward so fast because hot rises that it created its own weather, and then it became, again, a wind-driven event. So it was literally a perfect storm.
Yep. That's crazy.
I think that they should teach that or actually go over that report in the high schools as so that people have the kids actually have a why and some sort of logic that they can put to this.
Yeah. Well, my wife teaches what's called a 290 class to wildland firefighters. Now, she's in her final year of doing this, but she says she's going to be answering a lot of questions about what happened, because the phenomenon has been seen, just not on this scale. We set a record.
Right. It is.
Oh,
lucky us.
Boy.
Yeah. I remember
excited
one.
For that learning experience.
The gentleman from Cal Fire, Govea was his last name, who would be doing the interview, said, this is what we're hoping today, but this fire's made a liar out of me every day. So, you know, I felt bad for some of these highly trained people doing, again, they've heard of this kind of thing happening, but hadn't ever experienced it. So, and we're all asking them, what's going to happen? What do we need to do? How do we protect ourselves? And they're grasping out, trying to figure that out.
There is no one person, one agency, one factor. It is a combination of factors, and people want to be able to say, that's the reason. Well, it isn't that simple.
No. I think we definitely can learn from this in a way of how our community responds, again, as evacuees, again, protecting our businesses, as Alexis alluded to, and also our forestry and our wildlife, and making sure that we're doing the controlled burns and doing the cleanup through our forests, and making sure that because we live in these areas that are high risk, that we don't give it as much fuel as we did this time. So, so some of the tips for recovering from a natural disaster. And I've kind of moved through some of these because, I mean, for me being out of my home for 7 days, I was fine with the evacuation part, but then the unknown of when I could go home and what I would find was really hard. Like feeling stressed, anxious, exhausted, sad, overwhelmed, angry. You and I were both through all of these.
Yeah. I'm all of those most of the days, but you know, this actually just exasperated it. Happy, sad, hungry, tired.
Feeling unwell, headaches, difficulty sleeping.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you and I were on a cleanse right before this happened, and that all went to hell.
Yeah, we cleansed so that we could inhale all of this.
That's right. I mean, and then we were not drinking alcohol, and we were eating only whole foods, and I was just like, okay, I'm going to have a glass of wine once in a while. I mean, this was just...
And you know, who knows, maybe our body fared better than we realized just because we had detoxified.
Right.
But... You know, for me, as you know, I landed in the hospital and I don't have respiratory problems. I work out fairly regularly, but I was like feeling cagey and went for a run at the gym, which was a bad idea after being, you know, exposed to the smoke. Mm-hmm. And I was wearing my mask. I wasn't religious about it, but I was wearing my mask and, you know, busy cleaning other people's homes, but didn't have a HEPA air cleaner in my house.
Right. So, there you go.
So, you know, and ended up going back twice because I was coughing up blood and, you know, had a bronchial spasm. And it was super scary when you can't breathe. Like, you tend to have massive amounts of anxiety.
Of course.
Yeah.
And that's why you ended up leaving town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
To get out, to get some fresh air.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that, and that all adds to this whole situation.
That all adds to stress. You know, you don't sleep well when you have anxiety. You don't sleep well when you have carbon monoxide poisoning. Your body's, you know, under extraordinary amount of stress emotionally and then physically on top of it. And I think we take for granted, you know, our environmental toxins. And with this, there's the particulates that were in the air actually caused me to have, you know, to have bleeding in my lungs and my bronchial area.
It's and I mean, I was chatting with a gal who has like a 2 or 3 year old, and the 2 year old, you know, outside mommy. I mean, can you imagine having a toddler through these weeks of you can't play outside?
Right.
I mean, oh my gosh. Okay, here's another impact of a natural disaster: increased substance abuse, which we already talked about. I might have had one more glass of wine than I would have. But I think uncertainty about the future, I think we're all, and this is why I think they're getting in place now. Great folks that are leading this recovery effort that are going to be communicating to all of us, you know, how this money is going to be spent. Bob, you'll love this one. So on Saturday, in my Uber going to the Brewfest, I was driving down Eureka Way and passed.
And thank you for doing the safe thing.
Yeah, of course. It was a 20-minute wait, so I think a lot of us were doing the safe thing.
Yeah.
And it was a great event. It was almost like everybody was kind of ready to blow off a little bit of steam.
It was a really great event. I thought that was going to be the case.
Yeah, it was really a great atmosphere. But as we're driving down Eureka Way, there's a gentleman, younger guy with a dog, clearly homeless, with a sign that said, car fire victim, please help. And I thought, here it comes, because there's no reason anybody who's lost anything from the car fire needs to be panhandling on the street. We have many, many resources for these people. And I just thought, well, here we go.
Yeah, exactly.
We all know it's going to come, leveraging that.
And by the same token, we have talked about this several times. We're hearing from the DA's office about our elderly folks who still have a home and maybe have sustained some smoke damage or something, are being preyed upon by unscrupulous folks saying, well, you know, you're going to have to wait forever for the state to help you out. I'll clear your yard for $1,500. They just charged a guy with that. Mm-hmm. And they are going to prey on our elder population because most of these people are of a generation when a handshake was your word.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, I remember thinking we had the physical looters. And now we have the virtual looters.
Yes.
You know, they're coming in.
The financial looters.
Right.
Yeah.
And again, I agree with you completely. Again, that I work so much with this population. Yeah, the handshake was the word of gold.
Yeah.
And, it's important. And the good news, they're publishing some of this. And a lot of my clients still read the newspaper and all of that. So keeping this information out there and educating people.
And if you think you're being scammed, say, wait. You know, you always have the final word. And these people are good at pressure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, Bob, I can talk to that as well.
Sure.
You know, a lot of people think that they have to use who their insurance company provides as a provider. The consumer always has a choice who they choose to use. And we have 3-4 disaster relief companies in this local area, but there are a lot of outside companies that have come in.
Yeah,
and they were actually here Friday night. Like I actually ran into them at Clary's, and they rolled in with their cat loss trucks, and we're really grateful that they've come to help. However, if the consumer or an elderly person does not feel comfortable with them, or does not feel comfortable, or feels rushed in any way, wait. Wait, get a second opinion. Call your insurance company. Make sure that you know what your rights and your resources are.
I coined a term. I call it catastrophe carpetbaggers.
Yeah.
The ones who roll in to try to take financial advantage of the situation.
Well, there's a lot of money being infused into our community right now, a lot of funds. Mm-hmm. And some folks that, you know, owned their home, were paid off very well, and have a lot of money available to them now. And there are people that are going to try to get a piece of it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, there's opportunity. There's also opportunity for people to take advantage in any situation. Mm-hmm. The panic of not having enough or not going fast enough, I think, is what really people need to address. Don't make decisions based on fear. Make them out of honor and respect for what you believe is true.
Mm-hmm. Even my local agent, George Peterson's office, who was great through my entire, they were calling me on the phone the day I evacuated, helping me get my claim going and all of that. And they said, turn in all your receipts. You know, they're going to reimburse for any out-of-pocket expenses I had while I was evacuated, but don't sign the claim. Don't sign off. Wait a couple months. Wait, make sure your heating and air conditioning system is still working properly. You know, I had some damage behind my house. It burned up. I need to look at corrosion. I need to have someone come out and make sure that I don't need to do anything back there with my rock wall now. And, you know, everybody wants
erosion
to,
in your dirt?
Yeah, erosion. Yeah, erosion. Yeah, it burned all the way up to this rock wall up this hill.
Yeah, I saw that.
And so it's like, is that, and I'm kind of down a hill. I'm at the bottom of a cul-de-sac. So already I get a lot of drainage, a lot of water through my house, through my yard. Is that going to be a problem for me? So I'm just taking my time. I'm not rushing anything.
And you're going to have toxic fallout from when a house burns, a lot of very nasty stuff gets released, and it all falls down somewhere.
Right. Yeah. So I just think, you know, taking our time and again, getting your second opinion, trusting your instincts, not rushing it. That's all really, really good advice. Well, we're going to take a quick break and then come back and wrap up the show with my good friend and buddy, Alexis Aspie. Stay tuned for more Generations Talk Radio.
Fresh air and new lasting friendships are hard to come by these days. Bikers Against Child Abuse will be escaping the valley for a weekend ride through the forests near Shasta Lake, and you're invited. Every child deserves a great childhood, and by coming together, we can help prevent and end child abuse. Enjoy a weekend of fun by joining Bikers Against Child Abuse September 7th through the 9th at Lakeshore Inn and RV. The Shasta County Summer Campout will include overnight camping with cabins, a live band, and the scenic Shasta County ride, complete with a barbecue dinner. Festivities begin Friday with a meet and greet. Then, on Saturday, enjoy a ride. Meet up at 9:30, kickstands up at 10, arrive back around 2, and then the party begins. You won't want to miss the Bikers Against Child Abuse 3-day campout the weekend of September 8th. For more information, contact Bikers Against Child Abuse or call Terminator at 209-9473.
Shasta Regional Medical Center is located in the heart of downtown Reading and was the recipient of the 2017 HealthGrades Patient Safety and Excellence Award. Our hospital is committed to always providing exceptional care and performance as a certified chest pain center, certified primary stroke center, and most recently earning the Joint Commission's Gold Seal of Approval for hip and knee replacement. When it comes to quality, compassion, and community, Shasta Regional Medical Center is the community choice.
You know, this time of year in Shasta County, the need to heat your home is probably the last thing on your mind, right? Well, my friend SSD Oil says this is the ideal time to trade in your old monitor heater on a spanking new Toyotomi and save yourself up to $250. Your qualifying model monitor heater earns you a huge allowance on a Toyo stove that will keep you warm and cozy all winter long. This deal is as hot as a running sidewalk in summer. SSD Oil, 241-1167, 241-1167.
Hi, this is Connor Sutton. Join me Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. for my all-new sports show where I discuss local, regional, and even national stories, as well as bring on guests with incredible sports knowledge. So join us Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. for Sports Talk with Connor Sutton, the only local sports show in Reading.
Received news that Chlorina and Sludge have been captured for impersonating spring water. Let's now go to our field reporter, Alza Wet.
Once again, Bob the Drop saves the world from fake water and... Oh, here's Bob now. Bob, do you have anything to say?
Well, Chlorina and Sludge from Tapopolis are the worst. Why would you want wannabe water when you can have the best tasting water delivered right to your door? Anyone can get Mount Shasta spring water if they call us at 1-800-922-6227.
Pure and simple. Naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
Welcome back to Generations Talk Radio. I am your host, Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. I've been joined today in the studio with my friend, colleague, great business owner, entrepreneur, author. Basically, just you're pretty awesome, really.
Yeah.
Alexis Aspie.
Yeah, and that's it.
Yeah, all of those things. And really, you know, CFO of Aztec Construction and Restoration, and they've definitely felt the ramifications of the car fire, and have their staff as well. And we were chatting as women, as business owners, even for our employees, helping them through this difficult time, processing everything, and then being, you know, for your staff specifically, being whatever their personal impact was, but then going to work every day and revisiting it again and again and again with other families. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts? How do we help people, you know, get through this?
Oh, I just had this meeting yesterday, you know, after 3 weeks of being inundated with calls, we're super grateful that we have the opportunity to help so many people. And being very mindful that we are going to do really quality work and provide quality service and meet people with compassion. Eventually it starts to take a toll when, you know, the phone is ringing and people want to know when and why, you know, why is it taking so long or how can it get done faster? And, shoring up my team has really looked like this. It's, basics. It's self-care in the workplace. And so how do we do that? Oh, it's different every day. You know, I'm really encouraging people to really talk more and communicate more and to tag team and to say, hey, do you got that? Can we do this? Or I need help. Asking for help more than they would normally.
Mm-hmm.
Also, not being hostile or aggressive towards each other with their frustration if they get frustrated. You know, how can we implement more breaks for them? Like, hey, if you got 5 minutes, go for a walk around the warehouse or go for a walk around the block with your mask on. Drink more water. You know, take your lunch breaks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone is working overtime and double time right now in my organization. And so it will eventually start to wear on them.
Sure, sure.
And as a leadership, I'm actually going to shut my office down for the half day before Labor Day weekend, just for a good 3.5 day full break for people mm-hmm. to just rest and recuperate and lick their wounds and not have to come to the office.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we're on call 24 hours, but we have an on-call team. And we'll...
I can see, I know just being out of my home for 7 days, the anxiety associated with that, what was I going to walk back into? You just want to be home. So these folks, you're trying to help them get home, and they're trying to understand, you know, you've got steps you have to take. You've gone as far as you can with this. Now you're waiting for this person to come in and do their job. And so, and your team's trying to educate people about
Correct.
That. But at the same time, we're frustrated. We want to be back. I mean, I know when and you actually said to me, because I was like, when I get back in, I couldn't wait to get home. You said, Sharon, I want to prepare you. You may go in and you may not be able to live there yet. And you know, luckily I was fine. I didn't have any smoke damage, but I had never occurred to me. I thought I'll just drive in, open my garage door and pull right in. And that is what ended up happening for me, thankfully.
Yeah.
But I know that that feeling I got when I got there, just that you've been out of your home, you've been staying with friends or in a hotel, and you just want that normalcy back in your life.
Right.
And when they feel like, when these clients feel like you're the liaison to making that happen, you're going to get the pressure of making it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So some very practical things that we've done in the office that people can do in their both their home and their office is we run an air cleaner. It's really loud all night long when no one is there so that it's cleaning the air. We're changing our air vents weekly, if not more, in all of our air conditioning or heating and cooling systems, both in our homes and in our office. I had the air vents changed in my car for the same reason. They said that they were totally clogged. We're having coils cleaned out in our air conditioning, like that if they're on the rooftops. My air conditioner was just plugged with ashes, which means all of that particulate is actually filtering in some way into my home.
Right, right.
And I just changed my air cleaner again after 5 days, and it was black. Normally, those air cleaners last like 6 months, and or those air...
filters
mm-hmm. and those small things are really important, and then drinking a ton of water, and you know, perhaps even getting some herbs or vitamins that support lung detoxification, and moving, but don't move too much, you know, and make sure that your gym or your where you are, you know, working out or spending most of your time has got some decent air in it. Because we're opening doors to our offices and our homes every day, right? So the smoke outside is coming inside,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's really bad. I am a chronic diffuser. My weird little neurotic thing I do is I diffuse. I diffuse essential oils in all of my diffusers. I'm using eucalyptus right now because that is excellent for respiratory health. It's also a nice sort of soothing smell that really mm-hmm. helps with the environment. And during the day in my office, I'm using peppermint oil in my office places. But I've got 3 diffusers in my house. I've got one in my immediate office. I've got one in my main office. They're everywhere. So.
And your assistant knows to keep those things going.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I think that's a good point, just in creating like a space that's comfortable,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the middle, especially if you're listening and you're a business who's getting more chaotic with this recovery effort and supporting your staff, getting diffusers for people in their office and just having those essential oils. There's a lot of research on those smells and what they do for you. And
yeah, I've often thought about, like, you know, we need a car fire recovery basket, gift basket. I don't really, you know, like, just for everybody in the community. It needs oils. It needs diffusers. It needs, you know, some detox vitamins.
Right. A massage. A certificate for a massage.
Right.
Yeah. And I definitely, well, it's been so great having you on today. And I think you're such a source of wisdom for women. And not that men aren't impacted by this, but I think women a lot of times carry the load of the emotional needs of their family, of the kids. And we really need to show how we're working through this.
Yeah, you know what they say, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody going to be happy. So we do really carry the emotional, at least in my household, I'm really the emoter of the family. Mm-hmm. So I'm the barometer, and if I'm not calm, then nobody's calm. If I'm, you know, grumpy or miserable or terrified, then people feel that, mm-hmm. even if I don't want them to feel that. And the same in my business. As a leader, people are really looking to me for a foundational approach to how they can gauge themselves in that same environment.
Absolutely. And for me, too.
Yeah.
And we're actually having a huge quarterly staff meeting tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to – I did one-on-ones with all of my employees last week, which was really great, 60 meetings, which I had planned before all of this. And it was just great to kind of check in with everybody and because we did have – fortunately, none of the staff lost their homes, but a lot of people were evacuated. It impacted their paychecks. It impacted their children, you know, their work. Some of their clients were evacuated, and they're trying to support those families. And I think, you know, for us to be really in touch with the needs of our staff right now, and friendships, too. I mean, we've had, you know, there's like three or four of us, you and I and our girlfriends, that have been hanging out on a regular basis for coffee or a glass of wine or whatever, and just being there for each other and sometimes not talking about the fire.
Yeah.
You know, and just talking. Like when I was at the Brewfest, I really wanted to have a shirt on that had like car fire conversation with the circle and the X through it.
Right.
Because I just like, I don't want to talk about this anymore. I just want to have fun at the Brewfest. And you were, then we didn't talk about it.
No.
I didn't talk about it to anybody. It was super fun. We had a blast. And again, giving yourself, I think, the permission to go somewhere and have fun and not talk about it.
Yeah.
And not feel bad that you're enjoying your time with your girlfriends or husband.
Yeah, you know, and joy is actually like a radical act of healing, you know, and faith and hope. And there's some shame in having fun right now. Like, people want to keep going back to the survivor story. And I think that it's really important that as we move forward that we are absolutely made for joy and for pleasure and for fun, and to not feel shame around needing or wanting or going to that.
Mm-hmm. And turn on the radio and dance. I mean, Dr. Laura, I listen to her once in a while, and she's always like, if you feel sad or depressed, it's really hard to feel bad when you turn on your favorite song and start dancing.
Yeah.
It's really hard to not smile when you're dancing.
Yeah. One of my favorite things to do, and is that a 3-minute warning or a 3-second warning?
No, minute.
Okay.
Yeah.
is that my cue to stop talking?
Yeah.
I think that also when you're feeling like the other day, I was just feeling super like just overwhelmed and like I was about to leak out. I just turned on a super mad, sad song and just had a temper tantrum on my bed. Just worked it out right there and just, you know, screamed and yelled in privacy, of course. And then, you know, went to a very soothing, you know, happy, upbeat, you know, song after that. Mm-hmm. But allowing myself to move through those emotions as opposed to suppressing them, I think is really important for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
We do this thing in my office where we have a, you know, at 2:30, we do a dance break. We are re-implementing that.
I think I'm going to steal that.
Yeah, we have 3 minutes, if that, you know, or 2 minutes just to like, you know, take a minute away from the computers, away from the phones, and just like, you know, like, oh, yeah, we're humans in this body, and we need to actually stay in our bodies and not, you know, like, disconnect.
And I think, too, like, to just take the stress level down in the office a little bit. So as we're wrapping up the show, let's give out your contact info if anybody wants to reach out to you.
Okay. So for disaster and restoration, you can call Aztec Construction and Restoration. Our website is aztec247.com. It's aztec247.com. Or our phone number is 530-275-3327, and we're located on Caterpillar here in Reading. For the healing circles or Brave Women Leadership, you can go to my other website, which is bravelovetribe.com, And I'll be posting more about upcoming events and what Sharon and I will be up to as far as women's empowerment and support.
Yeah, we're looking forward to putting some more stuff together.
Yeah.
Thanks again for joining me today.
I love you. Thank
you. I love
you
too.
Much.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Bob.
And remember, all of you, do not regret growing old. It is a privilege denied to many. Have a great day.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.